Hello and welcome to Believers Family Church. We are so blessed that you've tuned in today. We are a growing church lifting up Jesus in the beautiful and historic Johnstown, New York. God has called us here to set the captives free. We pray and we believe that today's message will produce great fruit in your life. He who the Son set free is free indeed, and we call you free. Enjoy today's message.
Anyways, today's word is by our words or hung by the tongue. All right, so we're going to start out by building a foundation here. We've got a lot of scriptures to go over because if you've been to my teachings, I build one on top of another and tie them together. So the first one's going to be John 1, 1 through 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And all the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Plank 1, foundation 1. The Word and God are one. They are not separated. Plank 2 is a question. How did God establish creation? He spoke it into existence. Go back to Genesis 1. It was by word. So by his word. So if you can grab a hold of this, it is a difference. God's word is a difference between life and death. God created life, how? By speaking it. What does that mean to us? That's God, right? What does that mean to us? Exactly. Let's put another plank in here. If you understand what I'm saying by plank, we're building our foundation. We're going to build that house upon a rock today. Matthew 4:4. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Live, and if you are alive, that means you have life. You have life because God created it, and he created it with your words. First thing I had you do was take a breath. Because that was the breath of life given to you by God. That also tells us if we're going to live, then we will need something that's on the next page. We're going to need the Word of God in us. All right. Who has a Bible here? Can you hold it up? Hold up your Bibles. You know what that is? Living Word, right? That's God alive. God and his Word cannot be separated. Get a hold of this picture. When you hold that Bible, you are holding God in your hands. That's how close he is to you. Remember, we just read that God and his words are one. That's God's words in that Bible, in that book. Jesus said that by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that's what we live by. So, I'm getting ahead of myself, but what should be coming out of our mouth?
The Word.
The Word of God. Okay? Let's put some cross beams on these planks. We're going to make a floor out of it. So let's go to Philippians 1, 12. Something we need to understand, because a lot of times we walk in self-condemnation, right? You know, we beat ourselves up. We consider ourselves not worthy of anything from God, let alone anything from anybody else. You ever have someone that really finds it hard to accept a gift? Because they feel they haven't earned it. They feel they have to earn everything. Well, you're not going to earn salvation. It's by grace. That's God's love towards us. It's a free gift. Put that in your thinker. All right, and go to Philippians 1, verse 12. It says, we are what ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the further place of the gospel. What that is saying is that He's standing on the gospel. Right? He's standing on the word of God despite whatever has happened to him. He's not going to allow himself to have his tongue tripped up. That he is going to simply speak God's word and walk by God's word. 2 Corinthians says we walk by faith and not by sight. All right? Also says that, you can agree with me here or not, but we are the righteousness of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Jesus said that we, you know, the scripture says that we had a righteousness of Christ. It wasn't something that we earned. All right? It is something by believing and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's another free gift. All right? God sees us as though we have never sinned, as long as we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So whatever doubts you have in the back of your mind, whatever creeps up at you during the night, all right, in those moments where you're not thinking and says you're not worthy of God, rebuke them. Because that's not what God says about you. And who would you rather believe, yourself or God? Isaiah 54:17, one of my favorite verses, and when I worked at a certain furniture store in Albany, I knew that there was a lot of ungodly people in there. All right, this is a scripture that I claimed before I walked in that building every day. It's Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against me will prosper. No tongue that rises against me." All right, I have the right and the ability to curse that tongue and come against it because it's not of God. Why? Because I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. So we can make those claims not of ourselves, but of God. Because he's already told us this. Again, who are you going to believe, God or yourself? Don't listen to your lying words. See, we are to be living above and not under, because Jesus said in John 10:10, oh, now she's getting ahead of me. Okay, she's too good. There cometh not, but the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Okay? Jesus came so you can have life and live in poverty.
No.
Jesus came so you can have life and you can have an aching back.
No.
The flu? Sore throats?
No.
Pain?
No.
Why did he come? And life?
More abundantly.
More abundantly. All right. Yeah, you're kind of getting there. Have you ever heard my aching back is killing me? That doesn't sound like something God would say. Not to me. All right, you can be your own judge on that. All right, Ephesians 6:11. God has given us everything we need for protection. See, we are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, which later on I'm going to get into this, because I've had that was always perplexing to me. The devil's been defeated, but we have to be protected from the wiles of the devil. He is a defeated, powerless spirit. He has no authority in our lives. But we need to put on the armor of God that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. There's an underlining statement there. It's like, why do we need that if we are standing and believing that he's been defeated? All right. But number five, we have the authority over the works of the devil. If we go to Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the world." So Jesus has the power, and he told us to go forth and teach it to all nations. Probably not enough. Probably should go to another one. How about try this one? How about Mark 16, 14 through 19. And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, so let's stop right there. If you believe, what's going to follow you?
Signs.
Signs. Okay. All right. So, but first, the signs, it says, in my name. So is that in Steve's name?
No.
That's in Jesus' name, right? Okay. So in the name of Jesus, thou shalt cast out devils. They shall speak, meaning us, we shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, that means us, and if we drink of any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us. We shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, all in the name of Jesus. Right? Now, how many people have that so deeply ingrained in them that they believe it 100%? Uh-huh. Because that's what it takes. All right? 100% conviction. I think we have established, at least in my mind, that we have been given the authority to use the power of God. Yep, okay? That same power that rose Jesus from the grave. That's the power we're talking about. By using the words of God via the authority has passed or been given to us by Jesus. That's the foundation. So here is the question, why? Why are so many members of the body of Christ living in defeat instead of victory? Why are so many members of the body of Christ living in defeat instead of victory? Well, there are many reasons. But I would put this out for your consideration. Remember, I'm a teacher. That our words are our biggest issues. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. How can a defeated spirit devour anyone? He doesn't have any power, and he doesn't have any authority. Or does he? Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Matthew 12:36-37 says it this way, a good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words they shall be condemned. You see, our words have two sides, just like a coin. All right, and what comes out of our heart is what we have put in. Now, I take, in walking in the world as I do on occasion, you know, associating with people who are not of the body, it absolutely amazes me the desensitivity they have with their words, how offensive they can be. And if you've noticed, and that's how you can tell that what's happening in our world, how we're rapidly speeding towards the end of days, is by the hate and the foul language and the words and everything coming out of people's mouths as if they are totally desensitized to life. They tried to get Christmas out of schools because it offends. But yet they can be offensive to us. I'm at the point in time where I think if it offends me, then maybe I should be making a stand saying, you know, I'm offended by that and see what happens. Because we have a right as the righteousness of God to walk in our authority. All right? And if we're not, I believe personally that we're actually not doing what Jesus told us to do, to go forth and make disciples of all nations. But that's me. But did you happen to notice in the scripture it says, by the mouth which speaks to words, that the word at the mouth is actually connected to the heart. Did you notice that what comes out of the heart via the mouth will determine either justification or condemnation? Right? Not just for me, but for you. Your words will determine your justification or condemnation. So where does Satan get his authority to be part of our lives when he's already been defeated? And don't be taken aback by this, but we give him the authority. We give him authority in our lives at one time or another. And it's usually when we're facing a problem, maybe an illness, or sometimes it's simply repeating what I've heard someone else say. I used the comment earlier, my aching back is killing me. How many people have heard somebody say that? All right. How many times has it slipped in your conversation when your back hurts, unwittingly saying, my aching back is killing me? It's happened to me. And then I have to repent for it because I realize I wasn't supposed to say that. All right. Now, God forbid that my back kills me. Go to James 3, 8 through 12, please. You see, he says, by the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. As the fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. James is clearly telling us that our words determine which doors are opened in our lives. Are we using our words to open a door to the authority through Jesus Christ that was God's intent from the beginning? Or are we using our words to open doors for Satan to affect our lives and use us in his direction? I'll give you an example. This happened this past week. I talked to a lot of people throughout the week, and I recently had a young lady who, being young and single, and in her heart doesn't want to be single any longer and wants to be married, asked me a question. Her question was, how will I know when I have found an honest, loving, and honorable man? I explained to her, it's really simple, it's by the fruit. Now, she didn't really understand at the beginning what I meant, and what makes this a little bit of an enigma for me of sorts is that she's from a family of 11 and her father is a minister. I would have assumed that this was a lesson that would have been taught somewhere along the line. But I continued to explain that out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart does speak. See, a good and loving person whose intent it is to be honest and honorable will show that through their actions as well as their words. Yet someone who is deceitful and lacks love and compassion will show those traits also. So that is why you've heard Pastor Phil say so many times, you just give him a few minutes with someone listening to their conversation, and he can tell you right where they are in their walk or their lack of walk. And it's so true. If you'd open up your ears and listen to other people, you'd understand where they're coming from. And one of the things we need to do is start listening to the words that are given to us, because that will open up a door for us to go forth and make disciples of all nations. So check two things. Remember I said I'd give you tools? Check two things. What are you putting in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth? See, let's quickly address one of the devil's biggest weapons. And this bothers me when I hear it. It really does. All right. And it's something I need to help people understand and overcome. It does drive me crazy. And that's fear. Okay. What does God say about fear? Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. Cry out to our Father God. And 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What has God, look at that right there and tell me what God has given us. He's given us power. All right? He's given us love. And he's given us a sound mind. All right? They did not come from Satan. They came from God. But also tells us what did come from Satan. Fear. Mm-hmm. All of that. They're all connected to fear. That's what he's given. So, if we have not been given the spirit of fear, let me ask you this question. Do we have to accept it? All right? Because we've been given the tools against that. All right? If anyone claims fear, then you know what you're doing? And I don't mean to attack anyone. This is what's being done when someone accepts fear. And they say they're full of faith, they negate their faith. And I tell you what, you're not going to be able to convince me otherwise. I mean, you can talk to me about that till the cows come home, and I don't own any cows, so we'll be here for a long time. All right? But it's a fact. We don't have to accept it. We've already established it's in our what comes out of our heart. And fear is a spirit of the devil. Faith is of God. And even if you're brand new in reading the scriptures, you need it's pretty apparent that to know that God and Satan cannot cohabitate in the same body. All right? You're not going to have the spirit of God and the spirit of Satan within you at the same time. They do not cohabitate. They don't get along very well. James 1, 6 through 8. Put this in another perspective. But let him who asks in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not no man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, someone who claims faith but speaks fear, that's double-mindedness. All right? Let me give you a few living examples. Something, if you've been in this church for any period of time, you've witnessed. All right? You've heard, many of you have heard my testimony, but when I was given 1 hour to live by three doctors, I did not accept their words. All right? Did not accept it. I stood on God's word and his promise. All right? I truly believe in my heart that if I accepted their words that I only had 1 hour to live, I would have died. Period. There was every opportunity in that situation for me to allow fear to enter in. But I had been putting so much of God's word in me, that was the only thing that rose up, was the spirit of God's word. Now, when my wife had her 5 bypasses, and some of you had talked to her, I guarantee you, and I can tell you for a fact, that not one word of fear came out of her mouth. Not one. Now, she may have had it, which I know she had some anxiety, but she would not speak it. She would not give it life. And that's important. You're going to have issues that may come at you. You may have an anxiety or a doubt. Do not speak it. All right? A thought unspoken dies. Do not speak or give life to that thought. All right? When I would face palsy, some of you know that my face was down to my knees and I had double vision. I was talking like slurred speech. It's terrible. And I remember when Chris Sable, I think it's Sable, was here that night. I was sitting right there, and I didn't ask for prayer or anything, but he came up to me and said, so what's your story? Because I had the patch on the eye and the whole thing. I told him specifically. I didn't say that I had palsy. I didn't tell him I had double vision. I didn't tell him I couldn't speak. I said, it's simply another place and time for God to show his strength in my weakness. All right. It took about 3 weeks for my face to come back. All right. If I had spoken differently, who knows? There are stories of people who've had a palsy for years and years. But God showed himself strong in my weakness. Now, we have a recent one, and it's Steve Mara. Now, I've spoken to your husband a couple times. He's a rock of faith. And he put a guard over his mouth and would not allow anything but God's word to come out in his belief in God's word. And I, you know, you can tell him when you see him, I can't wait to hear his testimony. I want to hear it. I'm going to start winding down here. I want because I have to judge some sweaters. And all right. Before I go into prayer, let's first go to Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done or of them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What is this saying? That the authority of God has been given to us by Jesus. Jesus has given us the authority for what? To use his name. Why? To release the power of God on earth. This is my daily guide by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. I have a passage that I read every morning, and I want to share this with you. And it's something that if you haven't ever read it before or seen it, maybe you should try to get a copy. And I've made this personal, okay, because where I'm going to say I, he says you, all right? Because if you remember ways back, I gave a message here that you have to own the Word of God. All right? That's part of your victory kit, is to own the Word of God. So this is how this starts out. It says, I once heard about a great man of God who looked in the mirror every day, and when he put on his suit, everywhere you go today, God goes in you. And you know, he's right. If you have united yourself to God by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord, and I put also and Savior, everywhere you go today, God goes too. Now, this is where I make it personal. As a believer, I need to start becoming more conscious of that fact. I need to train myself to be continually aware of God inside of me, talking to me, teaching me, counseling me, empowering me, and enduing me with himself. I need to continually remind myself that I am one spirit with God. That means that every time I face a problem, every time I face an evil spirit that tries to influence and hinder my life, God is facing it too. And God has already met them. He's already overcome them. I am united to the Lord, and I have become one spirit with him. Body, everywhere I go today, God goes. God is in me. The power of God is in me. The wisdom of God is in me. And the victory of God is in me. That's not just for me, but that's for each and every one of you. All right? Maybe I'll try, if you'd like, I'll try to see if I can get a copy made of this, and if you want to pass them around another time. But it's so important for us to realize who we are. Yep. What we put in our souls, our hearts, is going to determine who we are. It's also going to determine what we say and how we speak. It's also going to determine what our walk is with the Lord. So I encourage each and every one of you to grab a hold of those tools. Measure yourself. Measure what goes in, measure what comes out, and if you want more, put more in. In Jesus' name, I pray that...
Thank you for listening today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our services. We are located at 150 South Comrie Avenue in Johnstown, New York. Our services are Sunday morning at 9 and Tuesday evening at 7. For more information about our services and all about what we believe, please go to our website at www.believersfamilychurch.org. That's www.believersfamilychurch.org. bfc.org. Come and worship Jesus together with us at BFC. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon. We will say-